And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. I'm Mike Harrison, and yes, we are always working on your financial freedom. It's my privilege to be joining you today. And as always, if you miss any part of this show, you can find us on our YouTube channel, podcast app. That's my favorite way to catch the show. Please subscribe. It's free to subscribe. And if you find the show informative, please do me a favor and share the show with a friend. My email address is askmike@luinc.com. I have a real treat for you today. This show's a little different from any other show that we've done. I'm not sure why I haven't hit this topic before. However, the idea came to me based on numerous emails from our listeners, and thank you. I do appreciate the emails. Keep them coming. I am here to help. Today's show is going to be all about passive investing in multifamily properties, yet it's not going to be the mechanics of passive investing. We talk about that a lot. What I want to get into is perspective of passive investing in multifamily properties. You see, as a passive investor, we get together with several folks just like us. We pull our money, hand our money over to a lead syndicator, and the lead syndicator then purchases the business, the multifamily property. And I want to get into that mindset of the passive investor, the behavior, the best practices, expectations, and yes, evolution of strategies. I know my strategy has sure evolved over the years. So we'll just call this show Expectations and Behaviors for the Passive Investor. But I could not do justice to this topic if I provided this show to you all by myself. So I brought in my good friend and prolific multifamily passive investor from Dallas-Fort Worth, John Pry. John, how you doing, my friend?
Great, Mike. How are you this morning?
Outstanding. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day to be a real estate investor. John, as we unpeel this, why don't you give us just a tad of your background, and then we'll go from there.
Sure, Mike. 30-year petroleum engineer out of Texas A&M. Had a lot more money than I had time as a practicing engineer. And a younger brother of mine introduced me to Lifestyles. He was a member down in Houston. And so that was my early introduction to Lifestyles. I was not as skeptical probably as a lot of people are because my brother was already doing it successfully.
I saw it firsthand.
What he was doing.
Yeah, that's good that you can see that firsthand. And Lord knows I didn't have that when I first started. So, John, for clarification, you've owned houses. I think you still do own some houses. Is that correct?
I do, Mike. I still have three. It's such a simple business to run.
Yep. I've got a couple myself. Now, let's get into passive investing. How many multifamily deals have you participated in?
Somewhere between 50 or 60, Mike, since I joined in 2014. I need to go back and count.
I was hoping you wouldn't have an exact number. I love it. No, that was perfect. That's just right there in a nutshell is the life of a passive investor. It's so fun to participate, just one after another. So fantastic. What type of person should consider investing in passively, not actively, but passively in multifamily properties?
Yeah, it is ideal for someone like me who was a practicing professional and has more money than we have time. You know, we all get so wrapped up in our careers.
Yeah.
And we need to. There's a time to do that, but you got to also look forward to when you're not going to be so interested in your career, no matter what it is.
Yeah, it's perfect for someone who has a lot of money and maybe not a lot of time. That's where I was. But it's also perfect for somebody who's got a lot of money and a lot of time. And what happens as a result, once you basically free yourself financially, you now have that time on your hands. But really, we're not spending that time engaged in real estate investing. We're spending that time enjoying the lifestyle. John, do you recommend, I get asked this a lot from our listeners. They come to me and they say, I've got X amount to invest. should I go houses or multifamily properties? Do you recommend a minimum for jumping into multifamily passive investing?
I think it's a lot easier, Mike, if you've got somewhere in the $100,000 range. You know, that allows you to make significant investments and still have multiple investments. So that's the way I look at it.
I agree. At least 100, you could break that into four different investments and spread it out a little bit, maybe even a little more. And really, also, that question goes back to where are they? What are they trying to accomplish? You could double your money quickly in houses real fast and then come back to multifamily properties if you wanted. But yeah, I think 100 is a good number. If you've got less than 100, you probably should go houses and double that a couple of times quickly with the single family properties and then come back to passive investing. So John, I want to go right into the starting out person as a passive investor. We invest in these properties, which are really, we find out about them through a private placement memorandum. They're not solicited publicly. What are the best strategies a new investor can employ to gain access to lead investors so that they can then be able to participate and see these private placement memorandums?
Yeah, this whole thing comes down to two big categories, Mike. It comes down to education and networking.
So, John, let's take our new passive investor, and let's say, for example, they have $300,000 to invest in multifamily properties. What advice would you give the new investor on deploying that capital?
Well, very first thing, you know, like you and I know, is education. So I would strongly suggest going through the passive investor certification track that Lifestyles has to offer. You will come out far wiser on the end of that, and be much better able to understand what all is going on. In conjunction with that, Mike, though, the networking is very important as well. I came to every Lifestyles event that I could. I took off from work to do road trips and things like that. You have to have that in-person, personal touch as well to be very successful in a place like DFW that has a brick-and-mortar office. Now, there are all sorts of ways to network outside of the brick-and-mortar offices as well, now that Lifestyles, as you said, is a national company. Those are the two things you've got to progress, and you will get more and more comfortable with it as you progress both education and networking. And networking is not just networking with lead investors.
No.
As you well know, passive investors, we help, encourage, teach each other. It really is like a three musketeers, all for one for all type thing.
It really
not
is.
Not so much competing with, as we are trying to help each other. You're right.
John, I've learned as much from fellow passive investors as I have in any other means, including the education at Lifestyles. The education gives you that foundation, but then you can take it and just understand more perspective, that networking side. Go meet fellow passives. Go meet fellow leads. And so that way you can bounce questions off of them. I remember when I first started passive investing, I made a mistake. I sold five houses literally practically overnight. I sold four in one deal. So I had a ton of money in my pocket and I was a kid in a candy store. I went too fast. And that I think was my biggest mistake as a passive investor, was throwing money left at right into, you know, here's a deal. I just wanted to get it into multifamily properties and I was too excited. But I would take somebody who had $300,000 to invest in, beyond the education and network, I'd say slow down. John, are you guilty of going too fast at times, or you're always calm and conservative? Tell me what your thoughts were when you started out.
Yeah, at first, Mike, I was kind of nervous. I was scared about it because I'd never done it before. You know, my investing was all stock market stuff. So early on, I invested only with very experienced lead investors with a very good track record, and that worked fine. But as my confidence and knowledge and experience grew, I don't care anymore whether it's a first-time lead or an eighth-time lead. I care about the deal, and I care about that lead investor's ability to execute that deal. Doesn't matter to me how much experience they do or don't have. It does matter to me that I see them at Lifestyle events and they take full advantage of everything that Lifestyle has to offer.
John, you hit the nail on the head. when I look at a lead investor, I'm not necessarily looking for somebody who's owned a multifamily property before. They could be a first-time lead. What I want to understand is, do they have the skill set to manage this project? And it is a project. Going back to our corporate days, you're basically a project manager. You're taking on a property that there's an opportunity. And in another way to say that opportunity is that property has problems that need to be fixed. Does this person have the skill set to fix it? So, yeah, John, that was good there. I want them to have the skill set to manage. So let's take our new investor. They've deployed into anywhere from 1 to 5 deals. What should they expect from their lead investor?
They should certainly expect a monthly, complete set of monthly reports every month, all the financials, and a good commentary overlaying that, explaining what's going on a high-level basis with the property as well. They should certainly expect to be able to have that lead investor or syndicator answer property-specific questions about the property, although it's not their job to educate us about real estate investing in general, as you know. That's really the main thing starting out. Study the financials, read the financials. If you don't understand something, ask questions about them. The financials are the report card, so to speak, and if you don't take time to read them, you're not really going to know what's going on with that property.
Yeah, important point. You've got to, and I'm not asking for our passives or people that are new starting out. I'm not saying you have to have total P&L experience overlooking that or understand even what a T12 is, the trailing 12 months on the properties. But those reports do come monthly from our leads. And I want our new investors to understand to look for certain things like the net operating income. John, talk about net operating income and why that is that's everything on the value of the property.
Multifamily is different than single family in that we can actually control by increasing net operating income the value of that property. And that's part of the magic of multifamily investing. Net operating income is very simple. It's all the income minus all the expenses except the mortgage. And there's something called a cap rate that you'll learn about. It's a multiple. The value of a property is a multiple of the net operating income. And because we control it by increasing net operating income, you can have some really significant value increases and cash flow increases in multifamily that you can't do in single family because you're counting on appreciation of that particular submarket for single family. It's not the case with multifamily. You know, I was a petroleum engineer. I understood P&Ls up, down, and sideways getting into lifestyles, but P&Ls in different industries are different, and you have to learn the language and all of that for specific to multifamily industry.
It's beautiful. You can raise the value of the property just by increasing income, and it's more than just raising rent. There's so many other ways to make that NOI number bigger each and every month. We'll be right back after a short break.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
Lifestyles Unlimited wants you real estate retired. Learn the roadmap to wealth building. Impact your family for generations.
They're learning the rope. They see this in their future, too. It's benefited our children in the way they think of their future. It's taught them how to think in the millions.
Learn from the best. Lifestyles Unlimited. Now's the time to take action. Go to GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Enter code 2024 for a $297 two-year membership. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. That's GiveMeTotalFreedom.com.
Creating the lifestyle you've always wanted. You're hearing Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Mike Harrison. I have my good friend and fellow multifamily property investor John Pry on the show today, and we're talking about expectations and behaviors from the eyes of a passive investor. So John, let's take our passive investor. He or she they're educated, they're networking with the lead investors, and now they have opportunities to be essentially on the lead investor's investor list, and they are sent these private placement memorandums. And within that private placement memorandum, the most important page, that at least that I look for, is what we call the MFQA, Multifamily Quick Analysis. And it's literally an Excel spreadsheet that proposes financially the plan for that property. So, John, you've been handed a PPM. You go to the MFQA. What do you look for? What are you wanting to pay attention to on that?
Fundamental things that I look for, Mike, you know, what is the style of this property? Is this supposed to be pretty much just a cash flow type of situation without so much appreciation? Or is it really intended to be a value generation, a value creation type project? And those are fundamentally different. Sometimes there's a mix of the two. We call those hybrids.
Yeah.
But you know, particularly when there's a large value add component to it, you want to be sure that there's some planned work or activities that are going to happen that are going to contribute to that value add. You know, if you don't spend money to improve something, you're not going to have necessarily gigantic rent increases. There needs to be a background, a reason for the rent increases that the lead investor is looking at, whether that's one of those markets that is really growing or not. You need to understand all those things looking at an MFQA.
Yeah, I want the financials to match the business plan. So within, for the listener, within this private placement memorandum, it's 50, 60 pages long, but there's going to be a story. There's a business plan. Here's the story of this property, and here's why it makes a good investment. So if we're looking at that MFQA, and immediately I see that they've got a 15% rent increase, first thought, just thinking out loud, well, rents are flat nationally, although all real estate is local. So how are you going to get 15%? You can't just go in and raise rent. You've got to give the resident a reason. So is it because the market around it is everything's higher and this property, for whatever reason, is sub-charging below market rent? Are we fixing all the units? Are the units outdated, need to be brought up to speed? What are we doing? And within that, then I'll look at the CapEx. John, how important is location for you when you look at a property?
It's one of those things that is just absolutely paramount, Mike. Yeah, and you're looking at a lot of things there. You're looking at crime rates, you're looking at business growth rates, you're looking at rent increases, rental increase rates. You're looking at a whole lot of things. It's very, very important, one of the most important things.
Yeah, location for me, I want to know that, is it in an area where there's job growth, right? That's primary. Economically, what's going on? Or is it, you don't want to be in a city where everyone's fleeing and leaving, then you know you're going to have trouble getting residents. And if the jobs are going away, well, they're not going to be able to pay rent. So that's first and foremost regarding that location. And then also, I like to look at location comparatively to, like you said, crime, right? Is it in a high crime area? What part of town is it in? John, do you have a preference for a B-class property or a C-class property, or what's that matter when you make your decision?
That's not so important to me, Mike. Who the lead investor is and what their thought process is far more important than what class of property it is. The other thing about location we can't forget is red state, blue state. We need to be in owner-friendly territories.
Yes.
We don't want to be in New York or California, for example.
Yep, great point. In fact, I have some properties in a city, and I'm not going to name the city, but the politics in that city have changed. And so I have basically told myself, okay, I'm going to thin my investment in this city over time. I may not go back and invest in that city, and I've got some money basically in that city, but yeah, politics can change. So yeah, that's important. You want business friendly and people that respect property rights. So important. And it's kind of sad that we have to say that, but that's a fact out there. John, let's go to lending. I think we've all learned some lessons the last couple of years to maybe the understatement of the world. What are you looking for now on the financials, the lending side of a property?
For the most part, I'm looking for fixed rate, fixed rate and the length of term of the loan pretty well matching up with what the expectation for the length of time we're going to own the property is. You know, that takes an element of risk out of it with interest rates. And like you say, we've all learned some things about how quickly interest rates can change. In fact, I've actually invested in one property where we have no mortgage on it at all, not using the power of leverage. However, the power of leverage pretty soon is going to come into play because that property has been completely rehabbed, completely revamped. The net income is, net operating income is far higher than it was. So we'll go do an initial financing of that property and get all of our capital and more out is my expectation. And it'll continue to cash flow after that.
All right, John, let's go to the dreaded moment that we all come to. Let's take our new passive investor and fast forward 2 or 3 years. And this passive investor has deployed all of their capital into various multifamily properties. I call that the waiting period. You're invested, but you don't have any more powder, and it hurts because we see these properties come across and we want to engage with these properties. We want to invest in them. John, what are the best ways for a person who's reached that point to stay engaged?
Mike, you just have to realize that today you may not have money for that particular deal, but you will next month, next year. There's always going to be another great deal coming along by a lead investor that you know, like, and trust.
Yeah.
And you just, there's nothing you can do about it. It's the way it is. You just have to take a breath and relax.
Yeah, you get to that point and you're like, you know, and I guess it's first world problems. You've put hundreds of thousands of dollars into various properties everywhere, and now you don't have any capital. But you're right, the capital does come along. We get these refinance events, or we sell a property, or just in our personal life, we come into money. Maybe we sell some toys. I did that as well so that I can invest in some more. I got clever and actually took out a HELOC on my personal home. Oh, gosh, I guess it was 5 years ago, so that I can invest in more. It was one of the best decisions I ever made. John, we throw a term around called active passive. What does that mean from your viewpoint?
My viewpoint, it means someone that is actively engaged with Lifestyles events, with other passive investors, with other lead investors. It's all about networking. You must be present to win, so to speak. Not present physically necessary, because I have several of my lead investors I've only met in person maybe once or twice at the expo, but yet I know I can trust them and I'm very happily invested with them. If you're not active, you're not going to come across the opportunities that you want to come across. Passive investors, we talk amongst ourselves all the time, as you all know.
Yeah, that's a great point. And we do share a lot of information. So if you've reached that point, you've deployed all your capital, you still need to stay engaged, because you're going to meet new lead investors. You're going to build relationships further with your existing lead investors, and you're going to meet more passives. I've learned so much from our passives. Our strategies change. They evolve. Our best practices change over time. And John, that leads me to what I call strategy evolution. I can for sure tell you my strategy today is different than when I first started investing in multifamily properties. Has your initial strategy changed over time?
Not so much the type of properties, but the emphasis on how well I know that lead investor, that has fundamentally changed. I place way more importance on the lead investor than I do the deal. So that, in that aspect, it has changed a lot, Mike.
That's important. The only time I ever lost money, and trust me, I'm batting 28-1, but the only time I ever lost money in a multifamily property was that time when I was new and I was just throwing money at everything. And I should have recognized that this was not a good lead. And this person's no longer a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, but the guy was arrogant. He was buying a property that was too big for a first-time lead, at least somebody with his knowledge and skills. And he was using third-party management, essentially. And I shouldn't have got into that deal. And look, I'm not the only one who did it. I lost 17%. So, I got a little scratch on the arm, but I've done so much better in my others. John, another thing that I've done in the last couple of years, I created a spreadsheet because I had all this money deployed, and I really didn't have any any limits on what I was doing. So some of the things I've done, and I'm not saying that other people should do this, but I'm going to throw this to you and see if you follow some of the same practices. But I've said, for instance, I don't want any more than 10% of my real estate money with any one lead at any one time, no more than 10% in any one city. I like to keep no more than 2 active deals with any one lead. I've had up to 4 with one lead. You mentioned it earlier, no blue cities or states. I'm not in any blue states, but I am in a couple of blue cities. So I want to limit my exposure there. I need to limit my coastal exposure. I've got about 15% of my capital deployed in areas that may be prone to hurricanes. So I want to limit that. John, are you doing any of the same practices?
Absolutely, Mike. And that has evolved as time has gone on. You know, markets change and our level of knowledge changes. And in the last 2 or 3 years, Lifestyles has opened up an incredible number of new investment opportunities and new areas for us by going national. Heck, I've even got one friend of mine that lives in Australia and invests through Lifestyles over in this country, Mike. It's amazing.
Wow. That's great. So, well, that kind of takes a question away that I had is, should someone be concerned about, and let's say you live in Texas and a property comes up in Indiana, should that be a concern to somebody investing out of state? But heck, we got somebody from Australia investing out of the country.
I know. I see him every expo, and it's always interesting to see what investments he's made since the last year when I saw him.
How awesome is that? Well, John, what do your friends and family think about you as a real estate retired, as a multifamily investor?
They think it's wonderful. They see that I am more relaxed. They see that I have bought back my time effectively from corporate America because I don't go to work anymore. They see the resulting lifestyle and the peace that comes with financial freedom, financial security. You know, I was a petroleum engineer for over 30 years, Mike, laid off 3 times due to low oil prices.
Mm. Yeah.
Don't have those concerns anymore.
Yeah, the feast or famine side of that business, and now you've got peace of mind, and you're able to do what you want, when you want, where you want, on your terms. It's a good feeling. John, did you bring any specific skills to the table that has enabled you to essentially build this lifestyle you have through real estate investing?
It's really the business background, and that business background can come from any number of professions, of course. And, you know, real estate is different than other industries, but Lifestyles makes it pretty easy for us to learn about and overcome whatever differences. Oil and gas business is not all that much different than real estate business investing once you look at the different fundamentals of it.
Yeah, it's we're going to give you the education to understand what you're doing. We're going to give you the roadmap. The individual that's considering this, they do need to follow through and get educated. They need to take that, essentially get certified as a passive, which we will put somebody through that. We have that education piece. There are tests involved. It's not as harsh as it seems. It's actually a lot of fun. My wife and I sat down and we did the classes ourselves. But to those listening out there, I would say anybody can do it. I've met real estate investors with all sorts of backgrounds, teachers, obviously engineers like John, IT people, truck drivers, police officers, firemen. I mean, I even met John. I don't know if you knew this, but we've got a guy that was a rodeo champion. He was a bull steer rider, and he's a multifamily investor.
Wow, I need to know who that is.
I'll introduce him to you next time I see him at a case study. For the rest of you out there, I want you to remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Make it a great day, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Lifestyles Unlimited's Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. We want to meet you as well. Sign up for a free workshop at lifestylesunlimited.com. Until next time, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.